Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Ki Lalah Kol podcast. God willing, the Shabbos, we begin our reading of Sefer Vayikra with Parsha Vayikra. And we know that the Parsha begins, Vayikra El Moshe, that Hashem calls out to Moshe, to the Ohel Moed, at which point Hashem will begin discussing all the different details, the laws, the protocols, the halachot of the offering of the various types of korbanot. Now Rashi notes that this formulation of Vayikra El Moshe, that Hashem calling to Moshe, that it is unique and it tells us something significant. Rashi writes, L'chol dibrod l'chol am yirod l'chol tzivuyim, Kidma Kriya. Anytime we see Hashem speaking to Moshe in the Torah, whether it's through a language of Dibur, like Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Limor, or Amira, Vayomer, or Vayitzav, that he commanded, all sorts of different ways that Hashem speaks to Moshe, all of those are first preceded with a kriya, with a call. Hashem calls out to Moshe, which Rashi understands to mean Lashon Chiba. It's an expression of Hashem's affection. It's a term of endearment, not just for Moshe himself, but for the people that Moshe is going to address after Moshe speaks to Hashem, to the Jewish people. He says it's Lashon Shemalachei HaSharit Mishtamshim Bo, the very same language that we see the Malachei HaSharit, the ministering angels up in the heavenly sphere, the language that they use. We probably are familiar with this line. We quoted in our tefillah, V'kara Ze'el Zevi Amar, that they call out one to another and they say. And the Rashi also notes that this is a language which is unique to Moshe, unique to the Jewish people. But when Hashem speaks to the prophets of the nations of the world, he calls to them not out of chiba, not out of affection, not out of endearment, but out of something which is chance, which is happenstance, something which is has tuma, it has a certain sense of impurity with it. Shneamar, the Pasuk tells us, this is specifically by Bil'am, if you remember in Sefer Bamidbar, this is in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Hashem speaks to Bilam, he's a prophet of the nations of the world. Unfortunately, he uses his power for evil, but the Torah tells us, Vayikar Elohim El Bilam, that Hashem chanced upon Bilam. It's Vayikar as opposed to Vayikra. Vayikra, which is what Moshe experiences, that's a term of chiba. Vayikar, which is what Bilam experiences, that's Arai, that's Tuma. Okay, very nice, very good. Rashi explained to us that Kriya connotes this chiba, this affection that Hashem has for Moshe and for the Jewish people. And anytime we see Hashem speaking to Moshe, we should know that first there was a kriya. First there was an expression of Hashem's love, Hashem's affection, and only afterwards did the conversation commence at that point. Okay, very nice and very good. If you look in the Sefer Eish Kodesh of the Piazetzner Rebbe, so he asks a very simple question. And all he wants to know is, yes, this is a beautiful idea, but why now? Why are we learning this lesson specifically now? Why is this affection specifically being called to our attention or specifically being expressed here at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra? And the reason why that's an important question is because this is not the first time we see this language of Vayikra El Moshe. We find it earlier in the Torah. You could look in Shmot Perek Gimel, you could look in Shmot Perek Yotet, we saw it in last week's Parsha. So what are we doing here, right? Yes, it is beautiful that anytime Hashem speaks to Moshe, he first expresses his love and his affection, but we should have learned that the very first time we saw this formulation. Why did we wait until the beginning of Sefer Vayikra to learn this idea that Vayikra indicates chiba, and that anytime, even if we don't see it in the psukim, we should know that anytime Hashem speaks to Moshe, Hashem first expresses this endearment toward Moshe, toward the Jewish people? Why does Rashi make this point here? So the Rebbe, and remember, he's addressing his Hasidim in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1940. So he explains that we need to learn this lesson specifically now. This expression of love, this chiba, we need to learn about it specifically now at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and even though we find it earlier, that's not where we wanted to teach you the lesson. It's specifically right now. And the Rebbe explains that it's dafka now, before we introduce the halachot of the korbanot, of sacrifices. It's now, before the korbanot, that we need to notice, that we need to appreciate, that we need to internalize the great chiba, the great love, the great affection that Hashem has, not only for Moshe, for all of the Jewish people. And why now? Who cares? Why specifically korbanot? So the Rebbe explains that if you think about what is a korban, what is a sacrifice, it requires that a person takes something from themselves, something that belongs to them, and they consecrate it, and they give that to Hashem. They are giving up of themselves, as the Pasuk tells us, Adam ki akriv mikem, you are offering something to Hashem from you. And that surrender of your time, of your money, of your resources, that comes at a great cost, both in a literal way and in a figurative way. It's not easy to sacrifice. It's not easy to give up something, to donate something to Hashem. And at times, that act of self-sacrifice, it can be very painful. It can be unpleasant. It could be lo aleinu. It can be incredibly excruciating. And the Rebbe says it's dafka now. Dafka when we introduce the concept of korban, of sacrifice in our avodah Hashem, in our service of God. It's at that time where we might experience some pain, some difficulty, some challenge, some discomfort, then Hashem reminds us that, yes, I am going to make this ask of you. I am going to require you at times to feel that discomfort, to give up of yourself, but don't forget that there is chiba that is present. There is great love and there is great affection for the Jewish people. Hashem always loves Moshe and he always loves the Jewish people. We have to remember that Hashem knows, he understands how difficult a korban, a sacrifice can be. And he appreciates the pain that's involved. He appreciates what it means to give up for Hashem. He acknowledges the difficulty of giving up of our time, of our money and our resources. But it's never for naught. And it always comes from a good place. Hashem says, I know what you're going through and you should know you're doing it for me because I love you. To some extent, sacrifice, offering a korban for Hashem is our act of love for Hashem. Even though it's painful for me, even though I don't necessarily really want to do it, I'm doing it because I love you, Hashem. And Hashem, in return, he summons us first with his chiba, with his great love, and with his great affection. And that's such an important idea. But the Rebbe takes it one step further. And again, think about who he's talking to and what the people are going through right then in 1940 in the Warsaw Ghetto. And he says it's not just true of the formal korbanot that we're going to learn about in Parshat Vayikra and throughout the Sefer. It's not just the animals, the sheep. It's not just about the goats. It's not just about the korbanot mincha, the korbanot that come from grains or from other things. That's not the only thing that we are commanded to offer. And those aren't the only types of korbanot that we offer. He says, V'chol Yisurei Yisrael minei korbanot him. He says, if you think about it, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the difficulty, the challenges that the Jewish people have to go through, minei korbanot him. Those are also forms of sacrifice for Hashem. And lachin, and therefore, merameiz bezerashi, shekechol inyanei korbanot, afilu hayisurim, neda shegam kein kriya shel chiba shel kadosh baruch hu hima. He says, and that's why we have to remember that it's not just when the guy had to spend a lot of money to offer a bull, or he had to, you know, donate oil or wine or whatever it was, and it cost him money, it cost him time to schlep it to the Beit HaMikdash. That's not the only thing that Hashem says. Remember, though, that you're doing this because you love me and because I love you. Hashem says, anytime there are yisurim, there's pain, there's difficulty, there's challenge. Lo aleinu, you're languishing in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1940. You're going through pain and difficulty. The korbanot of offering lo aleinu our children, our lives. Even those types of yisurim, says the Rebbe, we have to remember that kidma kriya shel chiba. That before that, there was a call. There was an expression of love. There was an expression of Hashem's affection for the Jewish people. Our yisurim, our pain, our suffering, our difficulties, all that is kriya shel chiba shel kadosh baruch hu hima. It's a call. Hashem is asking us to give up something, something so incredibly precious, something which is so, so painful for us to give up. But we have to remember that Hashem is doing this not because he's angry at us, not because he hates us. There's no disdain. It's specifically because of his great chiba, his great love for Hashem. And it doesn't necessarily make it easier to give up, to make such a sacrifice, but it at least helps us to some extent remember that it's not coming from a bad place. It always is preceded with a summons of chiba, with love. Look, we all go through difficult times, we all go through challenges, and we have to remember this idea, we have to internalize this idea that when we go through a difficult time and a challenging, hopefully no one will ever have to suffer like the Rebbe and his Hasidim did in the ghetto over there during the years of the Holocaust. But we all have our own individual challenges, our own yisurim, everyone goes through tough times, lo aleinu, and hopefully we won't have to, but it's important that we internalize that message, that even though it might be difficult, even though it's something incredibly painful, there's literal suffering that's going on because of these korbanot, nevertheless, Hashem always has this chiba. It always precedes the ask for a korban. It's Hashem's great expression of love and endearment and affection. Every single sacrifice that we have to offer comes first with a call of chiba. And we know that right now that the Jewish people continue to be in a very difficult spot. And lo aleinu, we've offered so many korbanot, over 250 soldiers, countless numbers of lives lost on October the 7th, it's too much to bear. It's so incredibly painful. The korbanot are piling up and it's so, so difficult. But we have to remember, and again, it doesn't make it easier, but maybe it'll provide a little bit of nechama, a little bit of comfort to remember that it's not coming because Hashem hates us, God forbid. It's not even because he's angry at us. Anytime we're asked to offer a korban, it comes first from chiba. It's hard for us to see. It's hard for us to understand, but we have to know it. And that's why Rashi specifically teaches us this message right now. Before Hashem asks us to offer korbanot, he says, don't forget that I always, always love you. We don't understand it. We don't know why a certain korban is required at a specific time or in a specific way, but we know that it always comes from a place of deep and everlasting love. We daven that Hashem should not require us to offer these types of korbanot, soldiers, civilians, pain, suffering, difficulty. We ask that we don't have to offer those korbanot. And we ask that instead, Hashem return the Beit HaMikdash and allow us to offer the korbanot of old, the sheep and the goats and the wine and the oil and the grain. That's the korban that we want to offer. But if, God forbid, we are called upon, if we are summoned, we have to remember that it comes from a deep and everlasting love. Shabbat shalom.